I'm Jacob McDaniel, and I'm going to talk to you all today about engineered soil absorption systems remove wastewater, effluent phosphorus, and the co-author on this paper is Jim Impolito. Today I'm going to start out by doing an introduction, followed by the project goal and objectives, then the materials and methods, followed by the results and discussion, and finally a conclusion to tie everything back together. Breckenridge, Colorado is located about an hour west of Denver, and they use small engineered water treatment facilities that serve condo clusters. This involves a primary treatment, and after the treatment, the effluent is put into tanks there and is released into underground leach fields. These fields were designed to remove the phosphorus out of the wastewater stream. These systems are also considered by the EPA to be zero discharge, since the effluent is released below ground and not into above ground waterways. The systems were shut down about 5 years ago due to the nitrate-nitrogen concentration was increasing in the downstream sampling wells. The concentration was starting to approach the 10 parts per million EPA drinking water standard, but it had not approached this level when the systems were taken offline. The main goal of this project is to save the city of Breckenridge money. Currently, these systems cost about $250,000 apiece to install. Our overall objective is to determine a way to reduce the amount of nitrogen that is reaching the groundwater, and also to potentially expand the life of the system by increasing the phosphorus sorption capacity of the system. Our initial objective was just to characterize the sites, find out where the nitrates are and the phosphorus, and this is what we're going to look at today. The sampling was done at two sites. We had Skier's Edge and Miller Placer. And at these two sites, four backhoe pits were dug and samples were collected. The sampling was based off of this gravel layer, which is where the wastewater effluent is released into the system. We looked at this as the areas to be most effective would be directly above and directly below this gravel layer. So for there, we sampled in 15 centimeter increments, directly above and below for 30 centimeters. And then we sampled to 60 centimeters above the gravel and 150 centimeters below the gravel. The soils were then brought back to the lab, allowed to air dry and pass through a 2 millimeter sieve. The pH and EC was determined using saturated paste. Nitrate nitrogen was determined using a 2 molar KCl extraction, which was then analyzed in the AlpChem. A modified inorganic phosphorus sequential extraction was used. The reason it was modified is we added a water step to see how much water-soluble phosphorus was in the system. We then had a soluble phase, which we used ammonia chloride to extract, followed by an aluminum-bound phase, which we extracted using ammonia fluoride. The iron-bound phase was extracted using sodium hydroxide. The occluded, which is phosphorus that is coated in a mineral phase, was extracted using sodium citrate as well as sodium bicarbonate. And finally, the calcium bound was extracted using sulfuric acid. The phosphorus concentrations were then determined colorimetrically using an ascorbic acid method. We also did a 4 molar soil digest to determine total metals, and that was then analyzed on the ICP. Our data was analyzed using PROC GLM and SAS version 9.1. The data was tested for normality, and if necessary, was transformed using either a log or a square root transformation. And an alpha value of 0.1 was used to determine significance. For the results, this is showing the nitrate nitrogen at both sites. We have the Skier's Edge site and the Miller Placer. On the x-axis, we have the concentration in milligrams per kilogram, and on the y-axis, we have the depth, with zero being the center of the gravel layer. These axes will be the same on all the next graphs. What this shows is that there's not a significant difference between the above and below levels of nitrate nitrogen at the two sites. It also shows that the concentration of nitrate nitrogen is much less than what Breckenridge was reporting. And we believe the reason for this would be Either we just didn't sample deep enough to find the nitrates that had leached down, otherwise it could have been lost through leaching, denitrification, or used by plants. The water-soluble phase showed that there was a significant difference between the above and below gravel layer concentrations of water-soluble phosphorus. On these graphs, the letters, if they have the same letter, it means there's no significant difference. If the letters are different, there is a significant difference. Also, the data that is shown is the untransformed data, and the significance on them is with the transformations. And we believe here that the increase that this shows directly below the gravel layer is due to the release of the phosphorus that was just in the effluent stream. The aluminum-bound phase showed that there was a significant difference between the above and below gravel concentrations of aluminum-bound phosphorus at both sites. And again, this is believed to be due to the effluent that was released into the system. Also, on the Miller-Placer site, the concentration of aluminum-bound phosphorus is considerably higher than at Skier's Edge. And this is believed to be due to seasonal redox that is taking place and will be discussed later on in the talk. The iron-bound phosphorus at the Skier's Edge site showed no significant difference between the above and below gravel concentrations. However, at the Miller-Placer site, there was a significant difference between above and directly below the gravel layer. And again, this is believed to be due to the phosphorus that's present in the effluent that was released into the system. The occluded shows at both sites there's no significant difference between the above and below gravel concentrations. And this is believed to be due to the age of the systems not having enough time for the phosphorus to become surrounded in a mineral phase. This graph shows the calcium-bound concentrations of phosphorus. As you can see, at the Skier's Edge site, there is not a significant difference between above and below. However, there is a trend that shows there is an increase. And at the Miller-Placer site, there is a significant difference between above and below the gravel as far as the concentrations of calcium-bound phosphates are. And also on these, you can see that the concentrations are both sites are considerably higher than the other fractions. And this is believed to be due to the parent material that's present at the sites containing calcium phosphates. Also, at the Miller-Placer site, the concentration of calcium phosphate directly below the gravel phase is higher. And this is also believed to be due to the seasonal redox that's taking place. This graph shows the total phosphorus that's present at both sites. At the Skier's Edge site, there is no significant difference between above and below the gravel layer. However, at the Miller-Placer site, there is a significant difference between above and below the gravel when it comes to the concentration of total phosphorus. This is believed to be due to the concentration of the water-soluble, the iron, and aluminum bound. In conclusion, both sites were very similar in their concentrations of nitrate nitrogen and phosphorus fractionation. The Miller-Placer site is believed to be undergoing seasonal redox. And when we looked at the total metals, which we don't have time to show, but the total aluminum and iron for the two sites was very similar. The total calcium, however, was lower at the Miller-Placer site, but there was greater concentrations of aluminum, calcium, and iron-bound phosphorus at the Miller-Placer site. And the reason for this is the seasonal redox that we believe to be taking place. The redox leads to dissolution of ferric-bearing mineral phases, and this leads to an increased level of phosphorus in the solution. The phosphorus then binds to aluminum and calcium, which are more stable forms of calcium of phosphorus minerals. The iron is then allowed, through the reducing and oxidation, forms amorphous or non-crystalline phases. These phases have a much larger surface area, so they're allowed to bind to more phosphorus. Thus, we see an increase in the aluminum, calcium, and iron-bound fractionations of the phosphorus at the Miller-Placer site. Thank you, and now open the floor for questions. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The samples were, it was about 5 years between when we collected the samples and when they were shut down. Yes, ma'am. I didn't show the pH data. It was at the skier's edge site. It was just slightly acidic. And at the Miller Placer site, it was just slightly basic. It was, but we didn't show that data. And that does affect the forms of phosphorus that are available because it affects which minerals are able to be and be in the system. It could that it's more basic at the Miller Placer site since there was more calcium bound phases of phosphorus present. When we did the looked at the data, there wasn't really a significant correlation between them. Yes, sir. Right. Not really. It could be many reasons. These systems, the way they're installed, is they just have these gravel ditches pretty much underground, and so the distribution of the effluent may not be consistent, which would cause hot spots, and we could have hit those when we were sampling. So I'm really not sure what would cause all the difference there, make that site more variable. Yes, sir. They measured the nitrates that was available, that was in the sampling wells, for the water that was found on the edges of the fields, because they were worried about the groundwater. I'm really not sure. I believe the numbers here are showing the amounts in the soil, so this has the potential to leach into the groundwater and reach that. And that's what we were looking at it as. Yes, sir. We really didn't have an off-site, off-location control there to compare with. And the reason for this was the way these are installed is they dig up the top 4 feet and install the systems. So we were looking at if we sampled outside the field to have a control that it wouldn't be the same soil as there since it's not mixed up. So we really don't have anything. We tried to find information on the parent material to have something to compare it to, and really only thing we could find was that there are calcium parent material. Just directly below it, but after that, no. So that could be used as our control, and those concentrations there were pretty much comparable. Yes, sir. How long do we collect it? What we did was we went up there for 1 day and took a backhoe and dug pits down to about 150 centimeters and sampled that. Well, I guess it'd be deeper than that because it's 150 below the gravel. So about 250 centimeters down. What's the what?
The water.
The water? I would believe so. The sites were about a mile apart, so it should, or 2 miles apart, so it should be fairly consistent in the weather that both sites experience. Yes, sir.
Did your soil profile above your gravel layer have similar bulk density to the soil below the gravel layer?
I didn't calculate bulk density on the soils. Yes, sir. There was a difference between the, what we had, the total phosphorus that was shown on the graph was the sum of all the fractions. That number did vary, though, from the ICP data we had when we did total metal extracts. We also looked at the phosphorus that was there. The phosphorus that was in the total metals was slightly lower than the total phosphorus from the sequential extraction, and that's just believed to be due to being able to get out more phosphorus from the total or from the fractionation due to using different solutions to extract each phase. Yes, sir.
So what would be your recommendation?
What were, this was our, just pretty much our preliminary information to get the background on the site. What we plan to do is to then now take the soils and set up columns to use the columns to look at the nitrates and ways to reduce nitrogen. So we'll probably load the columns with more nitrogen and try to get it removed. Also, we're looking at, for the phosphorus, determining how much is left, setting up batch studies with the soil and putting in varying concentrations of phosphorus, such as 100 parts per million, 200, 300, and just seeing how much of that we can get to sorb to the soil to figure out how much is left. So then from there, we can make our recommendations. All right. Thank you.